Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. Reading from Isaiah chapter 1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, O seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, and as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings of rams, and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of he goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand? To tread my courts, bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it, is iniquity. Even the solemn meeting, your new moons, and your appointed feast, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So far we read God's holy word. As we read these words, there's a parallel not only to the time of Jeremiah later, but also to us today. And we see even somewhat of that in the churches to which Christ wrote later in Asia, to the seven churches by the pen of John. Five of them had to be called to repentance and were described in somewhat similar ways as Judah was here. Let's pray that we will awaken in our nation. We are much the same, and we are in line for judgment if we do not repent. Let's pray that there will be awakening to truth, awakening in the way of repentance, faith, and obedience, and especially that we will have again a faith that worketh by love. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in His name for every blessing given. We have many, especially temporal blessings, that others do not have, and we pray for those in suffering, in the war-torn lands, in the persecution, in the homeless, the hungry, the famine, the starving, all these calamities that are there throughout the world. We pray for Thy mercy on them, and especially Thy grace, particularly those that are dying in starvation, that they might have Thy word, and they may know the message of the gospel before the hour of death. We pray, Father, for Thy blessing on Thy word, wherever it is heard, that it may be accompanied with Thy Spirit. Also, we pray that it might be sent to those that are not hearing it, that we will see again more labors called to go into all the fields that are white of the harvest where the labors are few. We pray that thou wilt send those laborers in our country and throughout the world once again, especially in nations as ours and some others that have had much more of the blessing of thy word in the past, both in hearing it and being doers of it. We pray that as we move further and further from thee as creator and lawgiver and redeemer, that we might be awakened before judgment comes, and that it will be like we read here, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire, strangers devour it, and that can happen here when we are murdering the unborn, when we are denying thee as creator, when we are seeing our homes so broken, and the children in them troubled, what is called mental health problems. Also, we know some of them have taken their own lives, do not want to live, and we pray that these things might be recognized by the church, and especially that the church might recognize its fault in regard to the home, that the church is agreeing with the world in divorce and wrong remarriage and wrong marriages, that it's compromising. It has compromised terrible with the theory of evolution, denying thee as creator. We do not know how many compromise in the terribleness of the murder of the unborn, but we know that we are lax, even where we know it and where we think of it as being wrong. But we pray, Father, that we might be much more in the way of prayer, that it will stop that terrible murder, and that we have prayer and fasting, that we have better prayer, more prayer, and that we will have prayer and fasting. As thou hast said, this kind cometh forth by prayer and fasting, and that we might do that once again, much more than we are in our present time. We pray, Father, for other needs that are there in reviving. We pray for the sick, that there might be healing if it could be thy will. We pray for those also that will be left in their illness through life, that they might have the grace to bear under, to learn through it the brevity of life and the need to prepare for death. We give thanks for what we have, and we pray for what we need, also in the schools for the children, that they might be protected from the terrible ways that are taught to them, and that they might be taught right things by the church, by the home, once again, for thy glory and for the good of mankind through Christ. Amen. This teaching that God gives us by the pen of Isaiah, called in the beginning here, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos. God gave him a vision. He also gave him the things of reality, as we can see them later. We know there were troublous times when we read the history of these different kings. We read of it in the book of Kings, the book of Chronicles. Uzziah, the first king mentioned here, was killed by the people. He fled away from the ones who wanted to murder him, and he was followed and killed. Others were not the way they should be. But then we have the last one here, Hezekiah, with whom Isaiah had the most communication, prayers to be delivered from the Assyrians, and God answered the prayer of Hezekiah and Isaiah. Also, there was a wonderful time of, we might call, revival in the time of Hezekiah. When he saw the people changed, it was done suddenly, and he knew it was of the Lord. So, in this time, there was both trouble and sin and problems, but also a time of blessing, particularly during Hezekiah's reign. But first of all, we see the vision that he had here of what Judah was in the present time, and he calls both heaven and earth to witness. As this is a vision, so we don't know exactly how it was given to him. Sometimes we read of those that have a dream, and sometimes visions. When we go to the book of Daniel, we find both. Here, it's called a vision. The vision is a picture of what God is describing the people here and calling heavens and earth to give ear. The angels in heaven. I don't know what he means by calling the earth, if it's the people on earth, to be witnesses. But he goes on to state, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. God did that there. He brought the people out of Egypt, and along the way, on the way already, they were complaining, they murmured, and throughout the history, we find that sadly to be true. especially after they were settled in Asia during the time of the judges. Many times they rebelled, and God would send judgment. Sometimes other nations to punish them, sometimes famine, other times different ways of giving punishment on them, because they did, as he said here, he brought them up, but they rebelled against him. We could say the same is true in our nation. Our forefathers came to this nation because they were persecuted in England, did not want to stay in the Netherlands, where they went from England to escape judgment and persecution, and then they came here for a time of freedom, but it did not take long. The next generations waxed weaker and worse until we had the time of the Great Awakening that we could probably say is somewhat similar to what happened later in the time of Hezekiah. And here we read the people were compared with animals. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. Animals are faithful. Animals know the way home. They know the place to eat. Seems strange to say it, but they don't complain. Even when Israel and Judah had the manna when they came out of Egypt, they complained about that. They called it light food. And they wanted meat, and they murmured, and they were given meat. Then God used it to punish them. They ate till they were sick. So they were not even as faithful as the animals who knew their owner. They knew the right crib. God says in the last part of the third verse, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. In our nation, we don't know our Creator. By and large, we have denied the Creator. That's a terrible thing, to deny Him, not to give Him glory. We can read of that in Romans chapter 1, where we will not give glory to God as our Creator. Paul writes there that the power and wisdom of God is manifested through creation. We have it in God's Word that He is Creator, and we have the proof of it in creation itself. We have the proof of it in the faithfulness of God in doing what He said to Noah, that cold and heat, day and night, summer and winter, seed time and harvest, would not fail. And it has not failed for these near 6,000 years since creation. There has been every spring, seed time, every fall, a harvest. Sometimes more, sometimes less. But it has been there, cold and heat, in spite of what they talk about climate change, that it's going to warm much in that way that we can't live. God says cold and heat will not cease. God said it, and that is true. The same people that are talking that way, foolishly, a number of years ago, one of them asked me what I was going to do in the ice age. I said, plant corn. I was a farmer then. We have planted corn every year. Now my sons and grandsons do it. We, at that time, knew that God was faithful, and we could say ahead, that's what we're going to do, in spite of what they said. And we could say that we do not know our master's crib. We do not know the one who feeds us, the one of whom Paul stated when he was speaking to the Athenians, not only God as Creator, but he says it's in Him that you live and move and have your being. The reason we had food today is because God gave seed time, and God gave harvest, and God gave the sunshine and the rain. All of that is in His hand. The animals come and eat. They know where it is. But God says, Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. And we have to say that of our country. We don't know, sadly, our Creator. It's taught everywhere in the schools, the lie of evolution, the lie of the world being billions of years old. How can they know? Who wrote then? Who lived then? It's all theory. It's all lies. We have the Scripture. God told Moses to write about creation. He wrote different times to the Psalms. Christ spoke of it. Paul wrote about it. And all through Scripture. Time after time, we have the message of creation. And we have it in black and white. And we have the proof of how we're living. That we are living, as I said, because God gives sweet time and harvest. And we need to believe what Paul said, as I just repeated it, as he gave it to the Athenians, in God, in Him, you live. and move and have your being. Do we consider it more than Israel did? Are we thankful for it? I'm afraid not. We are not only a nation of denying God as Creator, we are a nation of murderers of the unborn, of those created in the image of God. That's what he tells us. Those that shed man's blood, by man shall their blood be shed, because they were created in God's image. Every one of those babies murdered in their mother's womb is known of God, known by God, created in his image. We have to see the terribleness of what we are in our ignorance, in our foolishness, in our rebellion. We are like Judah was here, the last part of verse 2. They have rebelled against me, rebelled against the Creator, rebelled against the Lawgiver, rebelled against the Redeemer. And then God describing it through Isaiah, Father, probably still part of the vision. Verse 4, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel to anger and are gone away backward. What a description. A number of things. Sad ways of a sinful nation. A people laden with iniquity. A seed of evildoers. Yes, we and our children. We and our fathers. Daniel said, we and our fathers have sinned. We need to confess it as he did. And we have that confession prayer in Daniel chapter 9, toward the end of it. Not only confessed the sin of the fathers, but he says, as I was confessing my sin and the sin of the nation together. And we need to do it as individuals. And we need to say, God is right when he says, a sinful nation. That's what we are in the things I've just mentioned. Each one of them is a sin against God. Terrible. We could add to it other sins. The sins of immorality. The sins of transgender. The sins of covetousness and the dissatisfaction. Not only that's there with the children, but the children are being taught in school to deny themselves as a girl, as a boy, to change their gender. It's a terrible, terrible thing. They are told to do it. They're told not to tell their parents. It's a sin of rebellion. Teachers telling children to rebel against their parents, against God above all. And we did come to say, with David, against thee have I sinned and done this great evil in thy sight. God the Creator made us male and female from the beginning of our life. And that should continue to the end of our life. It's a terrible thing. And if I'm talking to anyone that wants to think of transgender, don't think of it. You will not be satisfied by changing. You're dissatisfied now because you don't want to listen to God. You don't want to listen to the Creator. You're covetous. Like Paul said, I had not known sin except the law. I said, thou shalt not covet. And if you covet another way, you will not be satisfied. I've read of people that have gone through the terrible surgeries of changing themselves and how terrible they felt afterwards. And they could not undo the awful things. It is terrible. It is just one of our many sins. Our broken homes, our denying God as Creator, our murdering the unborn. Yes, God can say of us, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, all these things here. And it reminds me of David's words, more than I can count. If you just glance at verse 4, you don't know how many times God describes us in our sinful, wicked ways. And the end of the fourth verse says, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. Yes, Israel did that, and Judah did that, and God allowed them to be punished for it. Though there was a time of reviving in the time of Isaiah, and there was also a time of reviving later under the time of Jeremiah, but the end of it was destruction. Terrible, terrible destruction. The temple was burnt. The city was burnt. The walls were broken down. The people were killed in a number of different ways. Famine, pestilence, noisome beast, the sword, and then some carried away captive. This land that Isaiah is living in, this people, were gone those number of years later, about 150 years after this, the land was barren. Barren for 70 years. God was long-suffering, like we had in the song, the love of God. He calls us to repentance. He calls us from our sin. And He calls us to Himself through Christ. It is true, as we read, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. We won't come up to that yet today, but it is there. It's there for you and me. If we know our sin as scarlet, then we can say with David, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. What a contrast. What a blessing. These here, in verse 4, are the ones whose sins are as scarlet. They bring God's anger upon them. There's two ways. One is, if left in our sin, without our knowing it, all we can have is God's anger. For the present, He may not pour the anger out, but He will in time, and He certainly will at the end of our life, and when Christ comes again. There will be judgment ahead, and there is judgment ahead. The only way to escape it is to think of God's great salvation, and we have to think of it seriously. Paul says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Isaiah is here seeing a vision of sin, but Isaiah can also be called a preacher of righteousness, a preacher of the gospel. That will come later, especially in the 53rd chapter, where he describes Christ as the answer for these people here. Very plainly describes the message of the gospel when he states in that 53rd chapter, first of all about our sin, and then about how God lays our sin on Christ. Verse 5 of that chapter, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Yes, our iniquities, those iniquities spoken of here by Isaiah that he saw in vision, they described of sinful nation, laid on Christ. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. And that's what we must know, and that's what we must have. He's one of us, individually, and we must have it together. As a nation, as a church of the nation, we have to repent. We need awakening. We need reviving. We need the church to again be a salt and a light in the nation. The church is not a salt to the homes, the broken homes. It's part of the problem, agreeing with the world. It's part of the problem in creation. The church, seminaries, are teaching the lie of evolution. Many, 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 almost everywhere, the last over 100 years. And now, I don't know how many are guilty in regard to the murder of the unborn. I'm afraid there's many that voted for the politicians that want to murder the unborn and want to have freedom to do that. No laws to do that. As in our own state, we just passed a terrible law to allow abortion in every way. Awful, awful. Calling evil good and good evil. We are certainly, in our country, a sinful nation that needs to repent and have the gospel of Christ not only preached to us, but believed in our heart. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Have we done that? If not, let's do it today.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.